And I pray this morning that you would help us to see you just a little clearer and to just embrace this sense of what it is that you were about in the lives, our lives as followers of yourself, as individuals, and as church families like this one. So thank you for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, the last time I spoke in front of a congregation was right here. That was back in about the middle of May. So I'm afraid that there's going to be a little rust that needs to fall off as I engage you with the Word of God, and as we talk this morning about when you follow a star and find a stable. We're going to take the next few moments to reflect on the story of the wise men. And as we do that, I want us to think about some of the things that we expect from God. And I'm being reminded I need to turn this thing off. Is that better? All right. Imagine in your mind's eye, or maybe this might be reality for you, I don't know. But imagine you're facing a crisis. And your situation, or maybe somebody else's situation that you know, is really awful. And you need God to intervene. And so you pray. You take God at his word. You might even take time to fast. You remind God of his promise that if we ask anything in faith, I mean anything, that he will do it. And you look up verses like Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, and John chapter 14, verse 4, and John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. And you can look those all up later if you want. You expect the Lord to work because you truly believe that you have faith in what you've just prayed. But the Lord, for whatever reason, has not answered your prayer. Even though you stood on the word of God and to the best of your ability, you believed that he would answer. It didn't happen. Question. Could it be that faith is more than what we commonly think of? In our suffering, we typically want an explanation. But if I read the scriptures correctly, what Jesus wants to give us is a revelation of himself. He wants us to know him. Every crisis in our lives is an opportunity to broaden, to deepen, to heighten our revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us that God's ways are actually higher than our ways, that he works on levels beyond our capacity to understand, that he works on the things in our lives to bring about good. So why then has not God answered our prayer? Why has he not fulfilled his promise? Why did he let this happen to me? Or to her, or to him over there? Why is God silent when I need to hear him most? These are typically the questions that plague the mind of the serious believer, the serious follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not yet met the God who refuses to meet all of your expectations, you will. And how you react in that day will reveal whether or not you were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ or whether you were worshiping Santa Claus. That's the reality. One of the huge life lessons that the story of the wise men teach us has to do with how our conduct is controlled by our expectations, how our conduct is controlled by our expectations. If you have children around the house at Christmas time, they typically want to know the answer to the question, how long until Christmas? And the reason that they typically want to know how long until Christmas, it's typically all about how many presents are under that green tree with their name and attached to it. I remember Christmases when I'm sure that the prayer of my mom and dad was, dear Lord, please let them sleep. I had three brothers and we were all very, very active at Christmas, I'm sure. But having had children of my own, there was always this sense. I noticed that within a week of Christmas, like by early New Year, when it was time to go back to school, somehow the motivation to wake up early, I mean, that had really changed. The question that I've been thinking about, though, this past week or so, is this. It says, what happens? What happens when you've been following a star, expecting something grand and glorious at the far end of the journey, but instead you find yourself in very different circumstances? What happens when instead of a palace or a mansion and a court and a king, what you find instead is this peasant woman and her child? What happens when nothing is as you expected it to be? Nothing is quite the way that you pictured it. I mean, how do real people living in real time, in real life, how do they react when they follow a star and instead find a stable at the end of the journey? Matthew chapter 2, I'd like to read beginning at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house. They saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Can you imagine the disappointment of coming to King Herod's palace over there in Jerusalem, assuming that the king of the Jews would be born under rather noble and highly auspicious kinds of circumstances, only to find that no one there at the palace seemed to know what was going on, and worse, nobody really seemed to care? Following a star, finding a stable, it's kind of a metaphor of for reality, a picture of what the Christian life, a life of following Jesus really looks like. I believe that how you picture your journey with Jesus How you picture your journey with Jesus will affect whether you become a person who is rather bitter or whether you will be grateful. So many people are dealing with disappointment. Disappointment with other people. Disappointment with circumstances. Disappointment with God. And our disappointment comes because he often doesn't do what we want him to do, what we expect him to do, what we think he's going to do, or even what we've been taught to expect. I know a lot of people who have been taught to expect one thing about God, and then it doesn't turn out. They're very, very disappointed. A number of years ago, I came across a story. Sheila Walsh, I don't know if that name rings any bells with some of you, but she was a speaker with Women of Faith and a former co-host of the 700 Club. Sheila Walsh got a really interesting letter from a young woman in her mid-20s who had cancer and who had multiple sclerosis, MS, at the same time. This woman wrote Sheila. This is what she wrote. She says, "Sometimes I watch your program and I'm helped. And sometimes I want to take my shoe off and throw it through the screen." Sheila said, "I was so fascinated by her honesty that I called her. We became friends," she said. One day she said, "One of the things I hate about what you do is that you always present people whose marriages get better in 10 minutes, people who get healed, people who have the nice packaged answers." She said, "What about people like me who are dying and who still love God? What about people who take very few steps, but every one of those steps makes a huge impression because it costs every ounce of strength that they have?" Sheila said, "She changed my perspective. Christianity is not this nice, everything's going to work out okay kind of attitude. I mean, when you think of Jesus Christ at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he wept because it wasn't supposed to be like this. He had spoken this beautiful world into existence, and it was so broken, so messed up." Sheila says, "I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give is just a dose of reality that life down here is disappointing. That God doesn't always give us the answers, but that he always, always gives us himself." Question. Have you ever followed a star and found a stable at the end of the road to greet you? Remember the story of those three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, where the pagan king gave them that ultimatum: worship the golden image or else you're going to die in that fiery furnace over there. If you read the book of Daniel, the answer that those kids give is really, really telling. I love it. It says, "We are not going to serve your gods or worship the image. The Lord is able to deliver us from your furnace, and he will deliver us." And then this next line: But even if he doesn't, we still will not bow the knee to your gods. See, you and I are invited to learn how to trust a God that we really do not fully understand. We never will. When the Lord Jesus walked on this earth, he was the embodiment of the kingdom of God. He was the kingdom bringer. He ushered in the kingdom while he was still here in the flesh. And consequently, through his ministry, there were healings and deliverances and miracles. Those kinds of things were common. They were frequent as people walked around and observed the Lord Jesus. That's because Jesus was showing forth the signs of the kingdom. As they watched him, they saw pictures of how death and sickness and torment and pain will be eradicated fully on the earth when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness. But it has not come yet. Not in its fullness. The kingdom has come, but not fully. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said, "But if I cast out demons in the Spirit of God, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." I mean, today, we live in this spiritual tension where the kingdom of God is already, but not yet. It is already, but not yet. It's here, but not in its fullness. It's here in part. We're waiting for Jesus to come and to bring it all together, to manifest it in his fullness. That's why Jesus told his disciples to pray to the Father, the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. And he said, "Your kingdom come. Pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When was the last time we prayed that prayer? I think the bottom line of all of that, for me at least, is that Romans 8:28 is still written in the Bible. It's still there. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So I want to encourage you as a church family this morning, don't lose heart. The journey is not over. We still have a long ways to go. But we get to walk there with Jesus. Don't lose heart. Even though suffering is part of what it means to live in the kingdom, to be part of God's kingdom in Christ. Paul told the new converts in Galatia when he left them on their own, he said, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, he said, "We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So we need not to make any mistake about this. We will all eventually encounter a God who doesn't meet our expectations and who seems at times not to even fulfill his own promises to us. At least it looks that way and can feel that way from where we're sitting. Not true, but it can feel that way. When it happens, and it will happen, we have two choices. We can either leave the Lord and go on our separate way, or we can go on with him. We can dig in and become part of who he is even more. You see, in every painful situation, in every painful experience that we go through in this life, the Holy Spirit of God is seeking to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to people like me and people like you. He's trying to teach us new things about himself, to show us new lessons. In fact, the Spirit is seeking to write the history and experience of who Jesus is into your journey, into your history. And much of that experience is suffering. Much of Jesus' experience in this world when he was here was suffering, and it's ours too. And that's not easy. But much of the experience is intended to help us to know the Lord better. It's not easy to process what I'm supposed to learn about Jesus Christ through this. It's not easy, but it is necessary. Always necessary. The Spirit is seeking to shape the image of Jesus into your character and into mine. And that simply cannot happen without suffering. It can't happen without it. I want to wrap this up this morning with three things about the wise men, things that they teach us. When the star that you've been following leaves you disappointed or angry or even disillusioned with God, with life, with whatever, The wise men remind us, first of all, that God is still present to us in our circumstances and situation. The wise men also remind us that during times of difficulty and frustration and confusion, that God is present to us even when our tendency is to kind of pull back. I'm not sure why that is, but when we go through tough stuff, we tend to step back, to pull back, and not give our best, or we don't tend to give what God even asks of us. Not sure why that is, but we do. Second, the wise men invite us to offer our best. In the Christmas story, the wise men came. They found a situation that looked very different from what they were expecting. But I noticed that in that story, Matthew chapter 2, that they did not hold back from giving all that they intended to, just because the child that they found was not in a mansion or a palace. They still gave all of the gold, all of the frankincense, all of the myrrh. They didn't hold back because he wasn't what they expected. The last lesson that the wise men reminds me about is that what they saw changed the way they lived and the choices that they made. When the wise men came to Bethlehem, they met a child and his mother in peasant surroundings. Very different from what they anticipated. But the experience changed them forever. It changed them. Our conduct is influenced by our expectations. Our conduct is influenced by our expectations. And because the way we live and act and behave is influenced by what we expect from God, from life, from the way that we believe the world is supposed to work, then I hope that your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ will change your expectations. The gospel writer Matthew said, when they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and they worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. The wise men met the child of Christmas, not in a mansion, not in a palace, but in a stable. But they met him with hearts full of worship, hearts full of gratitude. And that tells me that the stars that are worth pursuing in life will take us to Jesus. They'll give us a revelation of who he is that we need to see, that we need to experience. Also tells me that many of our greatest challenges in life as persons, as parents, as grandparents, as people part of a church family, some of our greatest challenges will be about making sure that you and I live our lives in such a way that the reality of our faith influences those that we love towards the Savior. And that's part of what Christmas is all about too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate the significance of you coming to earth at this time of year. Thank you for that. We recognize that this world, it needs changing. But so do we. And so I pray for this church family here at Meadow Lake. I pray that these days of reflection and celebration would move all of us towards the Lord Jesus Christ, but that it would especially move us towards each other in him for his sake, for Jesus' sake. In whose name I pray.